Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on blog at Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And in my case, it is officially the weekend for me because it snowed here and I don't have to go to work tomorrow because of it. So it's the weekend for me. I hope it's the weekend for you too. If not, you only have one more day to go. Hope everybody's having a good time. Hope everybody had a great week. Huge week here. I mean, God, that Survivor episode, holy cow. We have so much to discuss with that one. We got to talk the challenge. Oh, my gosh, the challenge, huge episode. I just have to say, if they had that elimination challenge on Big Brother and they had feeds, I would have watched every single second of it. It felt so much like a Big Brother endurance comp that I was all about it. We'll talk about that. We got to talk about this Are You the One reunion. I mean, we didn't talk about Are You the One. They got the money. They had a reunion. Typically, I don't watch the reunions. I happen to watch this one. Yeah, we need to discuss it a little bit. So we got so much to talk about. Before I do go any further, though, I got to say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hey, Allie, I'm fantastic. I can't believe that the holiday is next week starting off. It just does not feel like the holidays. I'm just all out of sorts from it. What do
I
do?
I know. I feel like, well, it's happening earlier this year because the fourth Thursday is earlier just date-wise. So we have like an extra week between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which I appreciate. That extra week goes a long way for me. And yeah, so next Thursday, usually we have a show every Thursday night. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we probably won't have a show simply because we both enjoy a little thing called Black Friday shopping. We'll see, though. Heck, the store's open so early now, though. I could be home by 10 o'clock, so it might happen.
Right.
So, I mean, it used to be that was not the case, but now it could be that I could be all shopped out and ready to go by 10 o'clock, and then we will have the show. So we'll keep you posted on that. And, of course, we'll have a new episode of Survivor next Wednesday, and so that will happen. So we'll have plenty of things to discuss. But we got to talk about this episode of Survivor. Holy cow. What a great episode. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. This season, I am digging what is happening. And you know what? In general, I was thinking about this the snow was coming down and I was driving home today, and I had a lot of time because everything was going slow. I was thinking about Survivor, as one does. And I feel like every fall, like the fall episode, the fall seasons of Survivor, so good. And then the spring seasons are usually the ones that have things to be desired. That's my takeaway. We'll have to see. I always feel like the fall one is like so good. And then the spring one is like, what are you going to do? I mean, Ghost Island was okay, but it wasn't great. You know, this season though, holy cow, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's just get into, first of all, this Davey, Nick, Carl finding the clue to the vote steal and how that went down. And when I saw the three of them working together, I just kind of thought, this is never, multiple people should not be working together for an advantage. Like, it just shouldn't happen. But I have to say that Davy distracting the others while the other two went to find the clue was something, it was like such a random thing, and I loved it so much. Davy just up doing some taekwondo, some kind of crazy karate movement on a tree stump, and just watching everyone, you hear Gabby go, "Oh my gosh, what's Davy doing? That's so funny." And the other two are running to get the clue. Fantastic, Priscilla. That was so good.
I totally agree. I thought, well, that's pretty damn clever. I didn't realize the third was involved. At first, it was just the two. So it actually came together because the third person had the idol that came to light of, you know, at Tribal.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because we saw them get the advantage. So we saw Nick go, "Hey, we have a vote steal." He was honest about it. Carl goes, "Oh, that's great, because I have a veto, idol nullifier," which he hadn't told anybody about. And people are like, "That's great." Davy, though, at that moment, didn't say anything about the idol. And he made it a point, he said in a confessional that, like, you know, "Well, this is great. We have these things, and then I have this idol, which only I know about." Now, I was thinking about this because they obviously cut to Tribal Council when all three of them voted out John. They must have known.
Total waste.
Say that again?
Total waste.
Total way.
Not to get, well, not Senator John, explain to me what the idol nullifier is. Is that, when, like, why couldn't they have nullified Dan's idol and sent Dan home if they were working together?
Well, that's not what would happen. So the idol nullifier is Carl in this case, has to go up and say, "I'm using this idol nullifier," and you have to put it on the person that they are going to give the idol to. So in this case, it would have been Carl would have gone and said, "I am putting the idol nullifier on Angelina."
Okay.
And that's the only way that this would have worked. The idol nullifier is going to be, I think we're going to see that a couple times before somebody plays that correctly. I think it's going to be so, and we talked about this early in the season. We think that, we both said that we think that the vote steal is going to be a more effective tool than the idol nullifier. I mean, it's such a difficult thing. You would have to know 100% that someone has an idol. Know 100% that someone's going to play the idol at that Tribal Council, and know 100% who they're going to play it on at that Tribal Council. There's a lot of factors there. So in this case, I believe everybody knew that Dan had one idol. They don't know that he has two idols, but they would have had to have known that Dan was going. So they knew that Dan had the idol, but they were going to have to count on Dan using the idol on Angelina. And as we saw in the episode, Dan, I mean, made it quite clear that he had no plans on using his idol on Angelina. He did not want her to be there. He did not want to play the game with her. I mean, he went on and on and on about it. And to the point where at Tribal, when Angelina was like, Dan, I totally thought he was going to ignore her, which is kind of what I wanted to happen. And in reality, you know, just to be completely honest, Dan didn't have to play the idol in Angelina because John would have gone home anyway. Angelina had two votes. John had three votes. So,
right.
Davy needed to play the idol on Christian, which he did. But Dan didn't need to play the idol on Angelina. They just needed to split the votes.
How I like when they keep us in the dark. I like when they have this extra planning, like all of them. Because the whole time I'm like, okay, who I know that they're going to vote for somebody else, especially when they're coming out. Who's it going to be? Who are they sending home? Who are they going to try to get rid of? And though, I mean, I like when they do that instead of just giving it all away before they go to tribal.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, who are they sending home? I like that editing.
I agree, because I knew that Christian wasn't going, and I knew that Angelina wasn't going. And so I thought to myself, who is that person? And as they're reading the votes and I'm going, who's it going to be? I thought it was going to be Mike. I was like, maybe they're going to take Mike out.
I thought the same thing. I thought they're stupid not to send Mike home. He's the one causing all the rift and getting Christian out, who is supposedly one of his alliances.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. In all of that craziness, I don't think anyone's going to remember that Mike is the one that started this. I don't think that that's going to come up. So I think this is a situation where, you know, Mike, when we saw him play an absolutely terrible start to the game where he was running around looking for an idol, I feel like Mike is in a really good position right now. Now, whether or not Mike can win is a whole other question, because we know that Mike is a very successful writer, actor, director. So whether or not at the end of the day the jury votes for him is a whole other question. But I think Mike is in one of the strongest positions in the game right now. I think everyone will forget that he instigated this. And I think maybe the only way that they find out about it is if Alec tells them. If Alec remembers to tell them as like a let's stay out of the way type of thing.
Right.
I thought it was going to be Mike. I just thought that that's the way the editing was going to be shaped up. So when it was John, my first thought was, and I'm so glad that he said it at the end. My first thought was, oh my God, he said Borchacho blindside, and it turned out to be him, which is like the only foreshadowing clue we got the entire episode, was John saying it's going to be a Borchacho blindside. And at the end he said, I said it was going to be a Borchacho blindside, but I didn't think it was going to be me. And I was like, oh, that's great. That was great. I'm so glad that they included that. But do I think that John was the ultimate best person for them to take out? I think that he was one of the top contenders. I do. But if I were to take someone out in that moment, I think I would have gone for Alec. I think that he actually has – I think he is playing the strongest game right now in terms of nobody touching him on either side. So I think he's the most dangerous. But I think John was a good takeout in that moment. I do. I also believe that this was Davey, a guy that beyond getting the idol a bunch of episodes ago, I didn't really pay a ton of attention to. I mean, this was a huge episode for him. Huge episode. The distraction Taekwondo thing, I absolutely loved. I thought that was so fun and smart. I thought that he gave really good tribal answers and tribal counsel. The fact that he made the decision to give the idol to Christian, you know, because that's a difficult decision to make, to give the idol up to someone else, especially when you're not in any immediate danger. You know, I think a lot of people would say, hey, you know, this has nothing to do with me. Why am I getting involved with this? I'm not going to give my idol to him. But I think the fact that he did, I think that that was the best decision for his game, because now they still have a vote steal. And with that vote steal, if they play it correctly, they're now at even playing field with Goliaths. And I think the Goliaths will fall apart a little bit without John being there. What do you think, Priscilla?
Yeah, I'm curious. I think that the Goliath, I think we kind of talked about this before, how I think they're going to, we think that they're going to kind of fall apart, like start going against each other. And that was the David's plan. And I don't know if they kind of stumbled upon it, but that's at this point in time what's happening.
Well, this is what I think happens now that John is gone. I think John was the glue to a lot of people's relationships. I think you have Dr. Allison, who I believe probably her closest ally was John. And now she's pretty much a free agent. You don't really see her talking to anybody else. You don't really see her much in general, so this could be completely wrong. But I think that there's some free agentness there. I think Alex willing to kind of be a free agent and kind of go wherever it needs to be. Even Mike, I think, is someone that can kind of switch gears a little bit and go, oh, wait a minute. I try to get Christian out, and this is what happened last week. Maybe this shouldn't be a plan. You know, maybe I should lay low for a week and everybody go for Angelina, you know, which is, you know, a possibility. Angelina is someone I could see a quieter week happening next week because such a crazy week happened and they just let Angelina go. You know, I think we can see a lot of those things happening within the Goliath side. Plus you're seeing, according to previews, Kara starting to get a little wanting to get some distance from Dan. Not great in terms of strategy, but it's an interesting play. We'll see what happens with that. And now we had two idols played. So now we're going to have at least two idols back in the mix. I mean, one definitely for sure immediately. And then, you know, who knows what happens to the other one. One maybe during a challenge again or something like that. So we'll get some more idols. But as we are seeing, as we are finding, the same people keep getting these idols because they know what to look for now. And the whole, as we talked about the first episode, where someone, I believe it was Kara, pointed out that there was a huge disparity between men and women finding idols. I thought that that was foreshadowing to a season where women find idols. And so far, we haven't had a woman find a single advantage. Idol nullifier, vote steal, idol, anything. So really, the foreshadowing has not been good. So we'll see what happens with that. But such a good episode. Do you think that even though Christian was saved this time, do you think the damage has been done with him? Like, do you think he's somebody who leaves in the next week or two?
At this point, I think Alex kind of might control that a little bit, but he did kind of fall by the wayside. I'm very curious to see how Mike backpedals from this. Because they could burn Mike big time. But in that case, they're also going to burn Mike.
It definitely could burn Mike, but I also see Mike being untouchable from this too. Like, I can see this going in the two extremes. One is, you know, people are so, like, caught off guard by John going that they completely miss, like, they just don't talk about the fact that Mike started this all. And we've seen this. I mean, we've seen it on Big Brother where something crazy's happened and really somebody started the rumor or somebody started this and they get off completely free because people are now so focused on this other thing. And we could see that people call out Mike immediately and he goes out. I don't see Mike going out anytime soon. I don't see him going out in the next three or four people. I mean, I still see you know, I still see Angelina going home relatively soon.
I did at first, but just by that fact that Dan used the idol on her, I don't know, that just made me twist my mind around on that a little bit, because Angelina could be the one that could go after Mike, but it may not hold salt. But then I got to think about it, it might. You know how she was talking about how it was her idea, it was different, but when it came Mike's idea, it became this grand gesture. If she lays low enough, like the next couple of weeks, I think she'd be fine. I think she's fine. She just needs to chill out.
I don't think she wins.
I think
you know, she's a great candidate to take someone to the finals with. She's a great goat.
Right.
Because I don't think she wins. I think you can take her, and I think she doesn't win. So in that respect, I can see that. I can see what you're saying. Absolutely. I don't know. I just don't. I see that people are going to kind of be enough is enough. Kind of the Natalie situation where they're just like, you know. But here's the other scenario. We talked a couple weeks ago that we could completely see a scenario where Dan goes home with two idols in his pocket. We did not have a lot of faith in Dan. Let's be real. We did not have a lot of faith in Dan. And, you know, he used his idol. Now, technically, he didn't have to, you know, but it was exciting to watch. But technically, he didn't have to. But 100%, you can see a scenario where Angelina turns on Dan, like, next week.
Sure.
You know, him using the idol on her, I don't think she has, like, the loyalty thing happening. I think that she would
not
more
like
than easily vote her out.
Christian is going to be a more appreciative and kind of look out, I think, for Davey. But I think Davey used it, right? I don't see Angelina caring.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that this thing with the Davids only brings them closer together. I think Davey using the idol on Christian brings the Davids closer together. And I weirdly think Dan using the idol on Angelina brings the Goliaths further apart. It's funny how that works, but it's true. You know, I think that they're all gonna. Now, my big question is, Gabby and so Davey, Christian, and Nick all voted for John. Gabby and someone else voted for Angelina. I can't remember who that second vote was, but there was two votes.
Christian.
It was Christian, Nick, and Davey all voted for John.
It was really hard to see on my TV. I was paying attention, but I couldn't see it that well.
Gabby and the other David, who is, I can't remember right now, voted for Angelina. All the Goliaths voted for Christian. And we saw how that turned out. So I guess my question is, was Gabby aware of what was happening? How out of the loop was Gabby? Did Gabby just think, did they say, let's all vote for Angelina and see what happens? Or did Gabby know that they were going to split the vote? I'm very curious to know that fact, because it will, like, determine, you know, people. I hear so much about Gabby. Some people are like, Gabby's a goat, she's not going to, and some people are like, Queen Gabby, she's the best, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out how much Gabby knows, how much in the loop she was kept. Did she know that the idol was coming out? Did she know that Christian was in trouble? You know, I would love to know that part of it.
I think Christian kept her in the loop.
I would think so, but I don't know 100%. I don't know 100%. And
there's things like that that I wish that they would show us if it does happen, as opposed to, I like that blind side though, of what happened with John going home. That I'm good on the editing, but there's some things that I just still want to see. I still want to see certain relationships behind the scenes.
They can show us that next week. Kind of like Angelina and the jacket, where you're asking, you know, did Angelina knock off Natalie on purpose, or what did that look like?
Right.
They told us the next week. That's something that they could tell us about next week. They could still keep us in the dark for that episode. And then at the beginning of the episode, when the tribe comes back to the beach, they can have a conversation about it. I'm totally fine with that. I just want to know, in all of this, where did they all stand? I mean, I would love to know at what point, you know, they all looked shocked as hell when Davy took out the idol. But as you know, there's some drama and theatrics involved with that. I mean, Nick looked, you know, but they obviously had to have known that Davy had an idol and he was going to play it on Christian in order for that to work. I mean, the only other scenario would be Davy didn't tell anyone, and the three of them just decided to go take a big swing and hit John and hope for the best. And I just don't think that that would happen. I think that at some point, Davy told them that he has an idol. Now I just want to know if Gabby knew it too, or if, you know, they just...
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I would be a bit surprised if Christian and Gabby didn't know, and the three guys did, and just said, hey, look, Christian, vote for John. And he's going to say, okay. He looks way too surprised. I don't think he's that good of an actor. There's no way.
Did Carl vote for... Angelina? Now I'm trying to think about, I know that it looked like Christian, John, and Davy vote, or not John, Christian, Nick, and Davy voted for John. Gabby voted for Angelina. If Carl voted for Angelina, then they were all in. They all knew what was happening. So, anyway, that's... but we can see more of that next week. I'm fine with them keeping us in the dark and then filling us in next week. Elizabeth looked like a completely different person on Jerry. That's like one of my favorite little moments on the episode when we get to see the people coming back from Jerry. I was like, Elizabeth? It was crazy.
Well, come on.
Also, did you catch Davy? And I think, again, another little, like, favorite part of the episode for me was Davy and his jury management. He made a direct shout out to Elizabeth, saying that, you know, Elizabeth, as she was leaving, exposed a lot of cracks to the rest of the group, and is like, and that's going to help them with the rest of the game. So I think, you know, I think that that was a very good you know, a very good kind of shout out to Elizabeth. Good jury management on Davy's part. So, yeah. It was just a great episode all around.
Yeah.
You know who else? The more, you know, like I said, we're not seeing a ton of Dr. Allison. We're not seeing a ton of Kara. Kara? I'm going to say Kara. And not Kara. But I feel like those two are, you know, I think those two women are might be in the best place in the game right now. And it could be a situation where they just, you know, they go out on a random week. But I think that they're both in very good positions. So that's my take on this week. Say that again.
It changes so fast, so quickly.
I know.
You might be cold in this today, but tomorrow you're like, shit out of luck.
Well, that's true. That's true. And both of them are Goliaths, and I don't want to see a Goliath win.
The key thing that I take away from yesterday is how the Goliath or the Davids kept saying they're going to get picked off one by one. And I'm just saying, I think it's going to be the Goliath get picked off one by one.
Yeah. I don't think the Goliaths get, I think it's going to be a back and forth. I think we get to the end and we're with, the only question is, are we with two Davids or are we with two Goliaths? But I think both tribes will be represented at the end.
Good possibility. I don't know. I can't even predict this season because they're actually, I don't know. They're batting back and forth, but I think Mike is going to be pivotal in how this comes out. I just am saying. And I think Mike goes in the next 2 weeks.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Because he's going to overplay his cards instead of, I mean, he's already standing out just from this week with, like, Angelina. And if she can sway other people to listen to what she has to say, I think that he could, and the double cross with Christian, I just think that that's going to stay, you know, very healthy in their brains. And I think I give it 2 weeks.
I can't believe you give Mike 2 weeks. No way. I totally disagree. I think Mike is a strong, like, final five contender. I think we see him final night of the episode of the season. Calling it now.
Okay.
We'll see who's correct.
Okay.
We'll see.
Probably both
correct.
Wrong. You'll fall in the middle of those two.
I know, right? he'll be out the week the like 1 week. There's only like 4 weeks left of the show, and we're like, I think no. I call him right now. He's on finale night. I don't know if he's. I mean, I'm not calling if he's final three yet, but I think he's at finale night. So
I don't think so.
That being said,
but that's a big call. But I don't think so.
Yeah, I call him at finale night, and so far I call him, and I think I call Gabby, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I call him. All right.
What do you call
let's move on. I wanna spend some time talking about the challenge this week too, because
we have to work in the voice for a couple of minutes.
Oh, well, you want to switch over to talk to the voice? I actually, I didn't see the voice this week. So tell me what I'm missing.
Well, this is right up your alley. Exactly how you would like to see it. Back to back performers. All of Blake's break, all the groups, you know, all go together. Jennifer's group went, they didn't mix them up, straight in, no intros, sing your heart out, nothing from the judges, move on to the next person, no packages whatsoever, except at the beginning of their group. And then at the very end, they did ask opinions on the coach because they brought back two comeback people that battled it out, and live audience voted on who stays from comeback group. My question is I didn't pay much attention as to where do they come back to? There's only one of them. Whose group did they go in? Teams cut in half from six down to three on each team.
and then it's the final 13. So where does she go? Don't know.
Huh. But does it matter anymore once you get to the final 13?
Well, you still have your groups that are like participating. I mean, how lonely is that to not have a group to hang with to get self to the end? You know, not a coach or a mentor. I don't think Kelsey Ballerini is going to be the only mentor to come back. She was there for the show, but that I don't sound like she was going to be there for the duration if she lasted.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, well, you know, just be happy that you're coming back and you're at final 13 without being on the without getting a chair turn. You know how I feel about that. You know how I feel about the match.
If they said, I just totally missed it. But I did not hear them say. All I heard them say was that they were coming back. Not sure where, but you will like the show because it's everything that you want. It's all the singing, no packages, no judges, just the individuals, and that's it.
I will go back and watch that. You're absolutely right.
24 people. 24 people singing, and you know that had to be pretty quick firing them off.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll probably go back and watch. I usually right around this time when we get the live shows, I kind of tune out because I don't really care especially if I don't have like a favorite or somebody I'm pulling for, like, you know, Allison Porter or, you know, someone like that. I don't really have someone that I'm really, you know, into this season. There's some really good people, but there's not anyone that I'm like, yes. So I usually tune out right about now. So I'll go back and watch. I do love a no package, no judges comments. That's always a good thing for me.
But that's all I had on it. I knew that that was right up your alley, how you like the shows to be, so...
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good call. I'm glad that we talked about it. Very good. Yeah. I'll check it out. I'll report back. All right. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little challenge. Man, again, really good episode. We're finally at the finals. Thank God. I mean, this has been a long time in the making, but we got to see probably one of the most epic elimination challenges that the challenge has had in years. And it was something so simple, nothing crazy, but it was a, you know, put your arms in the air and how long can you keep your arms in the air? And, you know, people who have listened to our show for a long time know that we both love an endurance challenge. We love an endurance challenge.
And you know,
just the idea that say that again.
5.5 hours of it. I can't even leave my hands above my head for 2 minutes without them going numb.
Natalie and Johnny Bananas fighting it out for 5.5 hours. It also looked like, by the way, that, like, I mean, Natalie looked like she had a couple more hours in her. I mean, when she, like, left, you know, they kind of, like, Polly picked her up and, like, put her arms down, and she was like, thanks, guys. Like, she seemed, like, totally okay. Like, everything was fine. Johnny was, like, you know, laying down on the steps, like, completely exhausted.
He was spent. And, you know, I can't stand either one of them all that well. Every now and then they grow me, and I have no idea why I was even wanting Natalie to win. I don't like anything she represents. I don't like how she uses people, and I don't like how fake she is. But why in the hell was I rooting for her? Was it more because I was wanting Polly to be in the final, or what?
I don't think anybody ever wants Polly to be in. Polly's just as bad as everybody. They're all like horrible. Like, they're like four like terrible people. Let's not be crazy here. I was rooting for Natalie too, and I think it was just because, I don't know. There was something so Big Brother about this challenge that I was just like, I immediately just was like going towards the Big Brother contestant. But I mean, she, like I said, she could have done that for a couple more hours. She was, I think she was okay. She was ready to go. And just the idea of the two of them standing there, I mean, there was that milk and cookie component to it. I didn't quite understand, because it was like they were going to finish this milk and cookie. You know, like, I doubt highly that MTV thought that people weren't going to be able to hold their hands up as long as they could finish the cookies and milk. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought the only thing I could think of was they came up with this idea and they needed something for the partner to do, and this is what they decided to do. I don't know. That part seemed weird to me.
I thought it was very odd, especially when I seen what the first part of it was. It's like, you're right. The second component really had no bearing on the outcome of it. But I guess it was a way for Natalie to prove herself to be a partner, I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, but I mean,
that bananas was spent.
Well, right, but when they create these challenges, they do it not knowing who's going to be in them.
Correct.
So, you know, they I don't know if they thought, okay, someone's only going to be able to hold their arms up over their head for like 10 minutes or something to that effect. You know, and so maybe the cookies and the milk would have come into play more. Maybe they just didn't anticipate that people could do it for 5.5 hours. I just thought that it was a weird combination of things. I'm doing a rewatch on Netflix of a reality show that was on a couple of years ago that I really liked, but it was a one season and done one called Strong. And if you remember, it was Gabrielle Reese hosted it, and it was a bunch of women and personal trainers. And it was like a weird combo of like Biggest Loser and like Spartan and Challenge,
right,
where they would compete in these physical competitions. So, you know, I'm doing a rewatch of that because I really liked it. And they had this really cool challenge where both partners had to do hang on a bar, and they had to take breaks, and each one of them, like, they would take a break, they would be on the bar, and then the other one had to get ready to jump before the other person fell down, or else the bar would fling up in the air and they couldn't participate. That's how they would lose. And I thought this would be like a great like challenge comp, something like that, where both of the like both partners were doing it together. I just felt like the cookies and milk thing was a weird, weird thing, and they're like, oh, and by the way, here's these two people with their hands in the air. It just seemed odd to me, but I could have watched every second. I probably would have been overnight, if this was a live feed Big Brother thing, I would have been like overnight, not caring that I had work the next day, just watching to see who of Natalie or Bananas would have gone. You know, it was huge. It was such a huge comp. I was all about it.
What about the comp? I have never seen TJ with so much emotion and just loving every second of them guys getting the shit jolted out of them. I have never
I thought that was weird. I mean, we can go back. Yeah, you're right. We should go back to that first comp. It was a trivia comp, and we saw a trivia comp already a couple weeks ago. So it was interesting that they had another one. But they had this electric shock one, and I feel like they've been playing with electric shock the last couple seasons. This one seemed brutal. I mean, this one seemed bad, really, really bad. And I don't think when you saw people just like walking through the wires, I don't think it looked like it was bad. But you could tell that, I mean, just from them falling on the ground, it just seemed like it was just horrible. TJ was loving it. And I feel like he was, I think that was a little bit acting too, where he was just like laughing uncontrollably. Like, I think that was just him, you know, TJ being TJ.
I don't think he was fully enjoying the guys' pain, especially certain ones.
I think he was enjoying it too, but like the maniacal laughter, he sounded like a cartoon villain. Like, you know, I don't think that was, you know, I don't think that's how he was rolling. I think that was just, you know, TJ, you know, showing it up for the camera. But
show up for the camera. He's a no nonsense kind of guy. He doesn't really give two shits and show much emotion at any of them. That's what really stood out to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think he was trying to be like an evil genius laughing or so. Like he's the one who created the comp. I don't know. TJ is TJ. TJ be TJ. That's just how it works with him. You know, I still, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the final now because we saw Johnny and Tony are gone. Johnny's last kind of stand, his last confessional, was very interesting. This, like, I'm not leaving. I'm not, you know, I am going to be here for a while. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. Like, I didn't think that he was going to retire. Like, I didn't think that was going to be his last challenge. But the fact that he was kind of like, you know, maybe it was one of those things where he was just sick of being called old man for the past, like, 3 months. And he just wanted to be like, yo, by the way, I'm not going anywhere. I will be here. I'm going to be here, you know, for a long time to come. I just thought that that was an interesting way to go out. I don't know.
You know how I feel about bananas. You know, he makes himself relevant. But what I did notice this year is he didn't make the edit as much as he normally does in certain situations. And I love that part of it.
Well, there's a new wave coming. He hasn't won in a while. And he hasn't made it to finals in a while. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to again. There's a lot of obstacles. I think he's at the point where more people hate him than like him. And I think he has, like, an uphill battle ahead of him. But I think that if he wins again, I think that's when he retires. I think he wants to go out on top. And he needs, like, one more win. You know, one more time to say, like, I'm a true champion, and then he leaves. I think, like, if next season he wins, I think he literally should be like, I'm out. Drop the mic. I'm done. I think that's the only thing that makes sense for him. I would hate to have him be the guy that goes from, like, legendary status to, like, he goes out in the first elimination. You know, like, that would be sad.
Right.
I hated to see that of CT this season. I mean, CT and Veronica, that's exactly what happened to them. You know, CT, who's a legend, went out so damn early, and it was kind of like, I hope that's not the last time we see CT. You know, but at the same time, do I blame him if that's the last time I see CT? It would have been like a terrible way for him to go out. I don't know.
What do you think about we were pretty much on the money. Out of the group that the four couples that are left, whoever the individual winning time is, are they going to split it with their partner?
Yeah. I was totally going to talk about that. But I still feel the same way as I did last week. I feel like the only guaranteed split will be Natalie and Polly. I feel like Natalie and Polly split. I think no matter who it is that makes that decision, either Polly or Natalie, I think they both, if they win, they split. I think
Cara and Marie would.
See, I think most likely, but am I 100%? Like, I am 100% on Polly and Natalie splitting. I'm not 100%. I think Marie will split. I do think Kara would most likely split, but I don't know 100%. And that would be a situation, too. I mean, Kara's a veteran as well at this point. People talk about Johnny.
Kara is a loyal person. I think she would. And honestly, I don't know about Sylvia, but I think Josh would. Josh would as well.
Hold on a second. Let's talk about Kara and Maria for just one second. One more second. For Kara and Marie, I think if Kara was in a situation where, because she's a veteran too, I think that if she wins, I think she should be done too. I think she's someone who also needs to go out on top. I think if she wins, she should be like, I'm taking the money, second win in a row. Second individual win in a row. I'm good.
I was taken back by Kara this season because, honestly, Marie held her own with Kara and sometimes surpassed Kara. So,
physically, no. I think what was helpful for Kara was the fact that Marie just has better friendships and alliances with people. I think that's what helped Kara out. I think Marie's social game is what helped her out. But I mean,
the puzzles and that she carried herself. Marie carried her.
She absolutely did well. There's no question about it. They're in the finals. They made it through. But do I believe that Kara will 100% not take it from Marie? No. I mean, I believe they're most likely going to split, but I just don't know. I think that Joss and Sylvia, I don't know.
Sylvia will not. Joss will, but for sure Ashley will not. I don't know about...
You're going too quick. We got to talk about this in depth.
We only got a few minutes left.
Well, you go too quick. Joss and Sylvia, I think that I agree with you. I don't think so. I think Sylvia keeps everything. I think Joss keeps everything too. I don't think he splits.
But there's no chance Sylvia is going to have the best time. Sorry, Charlie.
And then I think Ashley and Hunter, I think that they both take it away from each other. I don't think they split at all. I am rooting, if we're going, I'm a purist in the sense of the game. If I'm going to the final and I'm rooting for Joss and Sylvia, simply because they're the only team that made it through the entire game without getting eliminated once. Or being a coming into the game as a mercenary. So that's the team who I would like to see win. I think they have a really good shot at winning. But I really can't see Kara and Marie winning. I don't see Marie doing well in a final with endurance and a ton of running. Like the traditional endurance that tends to be. But I can totally see Polly and Natalie winning. I can totally see Joss and Sylvia. And I can totally see Hunter and Ashley winning. I think Joss and Sylvia are who I would like to win. I think Hunter and Ashley would be the most fun because I don't think there's any way in hell they split the money.
No, I don't either.
Then it comes down to who makes that decision and who takes all that money. And that would be interesting to watch. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I it was such a great episode. You know, I'm okay. I don't need to see Johnny and Tony in another final. I was okay with watching them go when they did. I was thinking about Natalie's arms, and I wonder how much time they get in between that challenge and the final. Hopefully it's at least like 2 days, because I do think that they'll be in a significant disadvantage because there Natalie did that whole endurance thing.
If they're full bore, don't have to work as a team and as an individual, you know, I still think Pauly holds back for her instead of just cutting loose. So I'm trying to remember. Kara is more of an endurance runner, but Marie, I don't think so. And you know there's going to be a running.
Marie is not going to do well in a final. I give Marie and Kara like a 0% chance to win just because of the endurance part of it. Everybody else, though, I think, has a decent shot.
If they do individual and Kara takes off out of the box, she can. She's an endurance person.
I don't think they do individual. I think they stick with their teams the whole way through. No, I think they do mini challenges where they compete against each other. Well,
why
I
are
think
they doing individual times then? They're doing individual times.
Listen. I think they do mini challenges within themselves because that's what they had to do last time. So Johnny and Sarah, for instance, they had to do mini challenges, and whoever completed one of the challenges first got a point within their team. But I think they stay in their teams the entire time. So, meaning they have these challenges, whoever gets the most points is the one who ultimately decides if they win or if they split the money or if they keep the money completely. That's what I think happens. That's why I think they'll have individual times. But I don't think it's going to be a situation where all of a sudden, like, Marie and Hunter are a team and Sylvia and Kara are a team. I don't see that happening.
They have done that before.
They do that a lot. But I don't think it happens this time around. I think what happens is, like I said, Kara and Marie compete against each other at a task. Like, let's say they compete at a puzzle or something like that. And then whoever gets the puzzle first gets a point. And then whoever has the overall best time is the winning team. And then whoever has the most points within that team makes the decision. That's how they did it with Johnny and that season with Johnny and Sarah. Johnny had more points, so he's the one who got to decide what happens. No, it could be wrong. They could decide in a different way, but that's what I think.
That's not how that happened.
That's exactly how that happened.
Not from what I remember. What I remember, they had to choose if they were going to split it or if they were going to keep it. And if they both chose to keep it, then they lost it if they both chose that. If one chose over the other, share it and keep it, the person that said keep it gets to keep it. And she said share. That's how I remember that.
I don't think so. I think it was based on.
I'm going to go back and rewatch that episode now because that.
Go back and rewatch it because that's how they do it on like Bachelor Pad. That's how they did it. And that Are You the One show, that's exactly how they did it. But I think I remember distinctly there being points in the mix, and then whoever had the most points made the decision. And that's because it became competitive within the team. So that's what I think is most likely the scenario of what's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I am rooting for Joss and Sylvia in this. I hope that they win, and then it'll be exciting to see what they do. Because to me, at least, Joss and Sylvia, they are the – I know that Ashley and Hunter take the money from each other. I know that Pauly and Natalie keep the money or split the money. I'm pretty sure that Marie and Kara split the money. Say that again.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, sorry. but Joss and Sylvia, in terms of split and keep, I think are the biggest, like, who knows what's going to happen. So that will be fun to watch if the two of them end up winning. quick bonus. I know that we have to leave in a minute, but quick bonus. I want to make sure that I get a little Are You the One conversation in there. Because we talked a couple weeks ago. I said that Are You the One, they were at four beams. There was 1 week left. I said if they win, there's some producer intervention happening. They ended up winning. I mean, can I say that there was some producer intervention? I don't know. I find it real interesting that all of a sudden seven beams came out of nowhere. And they just were able to like figure it out. And they, you know, based on speed dating, you know, which is what they did, they're like, okay, speed dates, quick. What do you think? Do you have a connection with each other? Yes or no? You know, I just don't see that happening. I don't know. You know, it just felt a little far-fetched to me, but that was fine. Like I said, with Are You the One, I don't care if they win or lose. It's the journey. But then the reunion happened this week. And typically, for some reason, the MTV shows, I'm not a reunion watcher. Like, I don't tend to watch the Challenge reunion because it's, like, so crazy and it's usually a bunch of people screaming at each other. And typically, that would be fun, but I don't know. There's something about it that just is creepy to me. But I'll watch a Real Housewives reunion, so go figure. Anyway, so I decided to watch it, and holy cow, that reunion was like, terrible. First of all, it was just terrible, and it's hard to manage. You know, Terrence J., you know, to manage 22 people in a reunion, that's a tough thing to accomplish. But some of the stuff that came out during the reunion, including the whole thing with Zach, Shane Lee from season one came on. You know, it comes out that Zach has hooked up with a lot of people from Are You the One since the show ended. This is no surprise. We saw Zach. We know who he is. Shane Lee comes out and essentially accuses Zach of having revenge porn on her and that taking videos of her without her permission and threatening to use it against her if she didn't leave him alone. And she came out and she talked about it and he denied it. He said, I just wanted to scare you. I don't have videos of this. I mean, you know, Zach is a real douchebag, and we've understood this. And you don't go on Are You the One if you're not a douchebag. I mean, that's just how it works. You don't go on a show like Are You the One because you're a nice, upstanding citizen. That's not how these things happen. But I question MTV's judgment. Of, you know, because either he's saying that he never recorded her and he just kind of said it to scare her. She's saying like it's straight up revenge porn and it's a felony and she has a lawyer. I just question MTV's decision to like put that on blast in such a crazy way because, you know, it was kind of like it kind of happened. Terrence didn't really talk about it. He kind of denied it. She talked about it. Terrence is like, okay, well, that happened. And then they did like a screen where it's like, if you think someone is, you know, being exploited sexually, call this number, whatever. But it was just a gross, horrible moment. And you're like, all right, if this guy is doing this, this is terrible. And this is like, he'll go to jail. But if he's saying that this didn't happen and he's being accused of this, his, like, entire life is ruined. It was just a weird situation. And I didn't love how MTV handled it. I just thought it was handled really, really poorly by MTV. And, they really hung Zach out to dry. Which makes me believe that MTV believes that he, like, had revenge porn. And if that's the case, I hope we don't see Zach on any other MTV show. But I'm not completely convinced that we wouldn't see Zach on another MTV show. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, a lot of your time.
really crazy. Did you happen to see it?
No, most of it's on the DVR. I did record it. Remember, I only seen like the first few episodes. I haven't watched the rest of it yet.
Oh, right. Okay. So sorry, I just spoiled what happened on Are You the One?
No,
but,
you're fine.
I mean, I want you to go back and at least watch that segment, because it was just the weirdest thing. Because she's coming out, Shane Lee's coming out, season one. This whole thing happens, and Terrence doesn't react to it. It's kind of like, all right, well, she's accusing him of this like very serious thing, but like he was laughing about it the whole time. And then they even show like a behind the scenes, like during the commercial break, where he is talking to the other like girls in the cast, and she's like, and he's like, oh, do you see how ugly she looks? Do you see how horrible her hair was? Do you see, like, mocking her after the fact? And I was just like, what are they doing? Like, what is MTV doing in this situation? Because if he didn't do this, they are really fucking him over. Like, his life will be destroyed. But if he did do this, like, they shouldn't make this such a laughing matter, like, because he's going to go to jail. Like, it's, like, there was no, like, good way for this to end.
Every time you keep talking about it, it keeps bringing me back to the Bachelor Paradise episode when they got drunk and they shut filming down for a while. And
that's a good comparison.
Did an investigation, and you know his life. You know, rumors started to spread very quickly before everything actually came out. So he had months of his reputation, and probably still dealing with it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good comparison. I just thought, what is MTV doing? Like, yes, he's an asshole, but yes, you created him to be. Like, that's what you wanted him to be.
Yeah, that's one of the
reasons.
Because he was in every episode. I was heavy in the episodes.
Right. Like, and that's what they wanted, and they, you know, so it's like, then they got this guy, and it's like, what's the intention here with this? Like, why bring someone, because it was someone not even from their season, and they're like, oh, hey, by the way, she contacted us, she wants to call you out, we're giving her the space to do this, she comes out, she talks about revenge porn, he's like laughing about it like it's no big deal. And Terrence is just sitting there, and I'm just like, what? Like, no good can come from this. So I thought, you know, just check that out, because I thought that was a super weird thing for MTV to do. On the other side of it, not to make it anything lighter from that, but the first thing that happened in the reunion, excuse me, was they talked to Marie and Shamoy, who were the perfect match week three. And they kind of said, oh, like, how did it go in the honeymoon suite? You were in the honeymoon suite for so long. What happened? Excuse me. And Marie goes, well, nothing happened because Shamoy had a girlfriend back home. And, you know, Shamoy goes, oh, I didn't have a girlfriend. And she's like, really? There's pictures. There's Reddit. There's all this stuff. And again, he's laughing about it. And Terrence J turns to the camera and he's like, by the way, that's not, if you had a girlfriend and you lied to us to get cast on this show, like, never do that again. He turns to this camera and he's like, if you're applying to Are You the One, you need to be single. You cannot be in a relationship. And Shamoy kind of said, which I know that when he said this, I knew that he had a girlfriend the entire time. He said, it doesn't matter. We got the money. That's all that matters. So he lied to casting. He said that he was single and he was in a relationship. Why the hell should he get money? So again, we've talked about how you know, it happens on The Bachelor, too. It happens a ton in Bachelor in Paradise, where people go on Bachelor in Paradise, and they have boyfriends and girlfriends back home, but they go on the show, and they just don't hook up with anyone, and they leave after a couple weeks, and they're good TV. We saw it with Alexis, and, you know. But in this situation, they're saying it's single people, and you're trying to find their perfect match, and they're coming in, and they're not single, and they directly lied. Shouldn't that be like a contract infringement thing? Should this dude get his winning share of the money? I just don't think so. And it was just so weird the way that Terrence handled it, where he kind of looked at Chamoy at first and said, if you had a girlfriend, that's not cool. And then turned to the camera and addressed the audience with like, you know, don't you ever do this in the future? Well, he still got his money. What the hell does he care? You know, it was just a weird thing.
For sure. I'd say that's a contract issue.
Yeah. I just thought that was and yet Terrence J got more worked up over the guy lying about the possible fact that he had a girlfriend other than, you know, and then there's this whole conversation about revenge porn, and Terrence J was like, whatevs, like, you know. He wasn't whatevs. I don't want to be so glib about it. But he was just kind of like, he just kind of sat there.
Well,
and
I don't know where Terrence J
had a response.
Yeah, to me, Terrence J is a horrible host. Everything I have seen him do, he doesn't add anything to it. I think he tries to put himself in a light a little more than I just have never liked anything that he's hosted ever. Where he's come from, starting to host all these different things, I don't know where he came from, but I don't like it.
I think he's a better host than the last guy was. But, you know, in this situation, they bring out Shane Lee. They know that she is going to say the words revenge porn. They know the story she's going to tell. This isn't like a surprise thing. They bring her out specifically to tell this story. Have someone write remarks for him. He doesn't have to come up with things off the top of his head. He can, you know, he knows what she's going to say. You know, it was just a super weird thing in general. And like I said, it was just a weird thing for MTV to decide to do because, you know, and who knows, maybe it doesn't ruin his life, you know, but to be accused of something that like terrible on TV and say, you know, this is a felony, which it is. And, you know, he's completely denying it. I don't know. It was just a weird decision to make.
Sure, he's going to deny it.
I'm just saying he was denying it, and I do believe that everybody is innocent until proven guilty. So it's like he's saying he didn't do it. She's saying he did. So instead of just saying, all right, let's, you know, this is not the first time two MTV reality stars have sued each other. Let's be real. You know, instead of saying, all right, let's not talk about this anymore. You know, let's not bring this up. They gave her a platform in which to call him out.
Well,
which I thought
was
an interesting move.
I'm not a lawyer and never claimed to ever want to be a lawyer, but I can't see any lawyer telling her to go on national television and be forthcoming of all this if there's truly a lawsuit pending.
Well, that's true, too. Agreed.
So.
That's true, too. But she did say she said she was like, I lawyered up. I have, you know, kind of one of those things. But, you know, let's say there isn't a lawsuit happening. Does that even matter? I mean, the fact that she went on national TV,
right,
called him out for some this incredibly horrible thing. And, you know, MTV was like, gave her the platform to do that. You know, I just think it was an interesting. It's funny to me what MTV kind of pushes under the rug and what they bring to the attention. You know, Camila, for right. instance, going back to
that
your sweet Camila.
Under. That was totally swept under.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something that they had video evidence of. They knew for a fact it happened. They could have very easily made that a thing, called her out, you know, had people, you know, but they chose not to. But this, where there is not, well, there, I mean, there might be video evidence, but you know, this is something that happened outside of the show. They decided to call him out on. So anyway, it just take a look at that part of the rest of the reunion is pretty lame. There's not a lot to, you know, that's why I'm not a big fan of these reunions. It's who, you know, who's still together with who, you know, that kind of stuff. Who cares? But those two things, the fact that Shamoy gets to keep his money even though he lied to casting, and the fact that they called Zach out for like a felony, like revenge porn and on TV, you know, it was just a weird way to do this. It was a weird way for this to end. So there you go. I mean, I think that, you know, and we saw this, we've talked about this a lot, Priscilla, over the years, you know, you have this thing on shows where it's like there's this tipping balance. You know, how fun is, how crazy can you be without being too crazy? And we saw MTV, all or not MTV, VH1, all of those VH1 reality shows, which I loved, Rock of Love, Charm School, For Love or Money, like all of those ridiculous, trashy reality TV shows that I was in for, VH1 and the heyday of VH1, that all went completely gone very quickly because of an incident that happened with one of their contestants. So, you know, we saw Bachelor in Paradise become very close to taking down possibly an entire major franchise over an incident that happened. You know, casting is so vitally important that sometimes you get somebody that's too much of a douchebag, it will, like, destroy you. And that's what it just – I think they're coming, like, super close to the tipping edge of that. They have to be very careful of it because it's, you know, the Zach thing was just so incredibly crazy, and the fact that they wanted to bring it up, it just was so weird to me. But check out those two kind of segments, the Shamoy segment and the Zach segment, and you're just like, oh god, it almost made me not like it definitely took some of the shine away from the show. Because it's this crazy, stupid, trashy show. And now it's like this real life crazy stuff comes into it. And you're like, come on. Just be jerks and be like fame whores and go on TV for my entertainment. Can you do that, please? Can that
not
happen?
To change the topic, but you're talking about all this craziness. Did you see where Temptation Island is coming back?
Yes. I talked about it on Twitter. USA is rebooting 10 episodes of Temptation Island. Now, I'm not going to get too excited because we have seen already one reboot of Temptation Island, which wasn't great. We also, I mean, I love Temptation Island. That is one of the pinnacle shows that started me down my reality TV path. Okay? I remember being young, watching it, having friends come to my house and watch Temptation Island because it was, like, ridiculous. I mean, I just remember it. It was so good. I'm so excited about this. But you know, this could be hole in the wall all over again. So I just, I'm tepid. I'm tepid in my excitement. We also had, remember a couple years ago, we had a Paradise Hotel reboot. The original Paradise Hotel was like the best thing to ever happen to me, which is, I guess, saying a lot about my life. But, you know, the reboot of it wasn't as strong. So I'm not, I'm tepid in my excitement.
And this
will
week
I watch every damn episode? Yes.
And USA also started a show this week for that country with Shania Twain for Country Star. Shania Twain, that started this week as well. So USA is trying to pump it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm good. Also, MTV announced today their X on the Beach, their new season of X on the Beach. So officially we got a bunch of people, including Morgan from Big Brother OTT and Monty from Big Brother OTT and Corey.
Corey, God, could you ever imagine how many exes that damn Corey has? Anyways,
Morgan is an ex.
Like I said, I didn't watch the last few episodes of that. I didn't take to that as well.
I know you weren't as big of a fan. I mean, I it's one of those I could take or leave, but like when you're in it, it's just so great. Like Angela, like Faith and Angela last year, they were great. There's going to be a couple of returners on this season, returners from last season's X on the Beach. There's going to be some, you know, they're really pumping up the names too, because the first season they had like some randos. This season it's most of the people I've heard of before. So that's pretty cool. It starts December 20th, which is a weird time to start a show. It's just a super weird time to begin a show. So that also like doesn't give me a lot of confidence on how good the season is if they're trying to bury it like 5 days before Christmas. And like, you know, why wouldn't you start it right out? Even if they started it like January 2nd or January 1st, New Year's Day. I don't know. That to me feels weird, but okay.
Vanderpump's rebooting back up on December the 3rd.
Well, December the 3rd, that's beginning of December. I think that's different. That's different. December 20th is just a weird time to start a show. Speaking of Vanderpump, though, I also saw today that Lisa Vanderpump's leaving Beverly Hills.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm actually very surprised that she was on last season, to be honest with you.
Agreed. It doesn't surprise me either, but I think that's a huge blow for them. I always wonder about the franchises and, like, you know, because they have Dallas. This is a super bonus episode of the show, by the way. But I don't have to work tomorrow, so we can talk about this. I always think, you know, they've had a really hard time launching the newer seasons. Like, I still have never seen Dallas. It's not something that, like, strikes me as something to watch. You know, D.C. and Miami and some of the other ones that they tried just didn't work out for them. And, you know, Beverly Hills and like, O.C., they've had a couple where they've had this, like, pinnacle person in the center of it. And Lisa Vanderpump was definitely that person for Beverly Hills. And they better have some pretty decent casting to take her place, you know, because I know Lisa Rinna. I don't know if Lisa Rinna can like handle, like carry the show or Erica Jane. I don't know if those two people can carry the show in Lisa's absence. So that's going to be interesting.
Denise Richards going to be a new addition this season. She can't hold a candle to Vanderpump, I don't think.
Well, I mean, at least she's a big name, so that will be interesting. But I agree. I mean, it's a personality thing, too. Like, you need,
she's
like, the brand on.
She's not a big name. She hasn't been around for years. I mean, her name pops up every so often. And
she's a big
usually
she's
because
a
of
big
her
name.
I mean, her name is, she's up here, but she, yeah, no, years ago, she's like, she's a has-been. She's a has-been at stage. Yeah.
In the world of the housewives, she's a big name. I mean, she's not an A-list celebrity, but she's a big name in terms of the housewives.
They tried to do a show on her own, and it flopped. She only had a few episodes of that. That show was a failure. She is a has-been. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but I'm saying in the world of the housewives. No, but I'm saying in the world of the housewives.
But you're not going to get your bang for your buck with Denise Richards because she's a very private person. And so I'm very surprised that she joined the cast of Housewives because she's only going to divulge a limited amount of stuff to y'all.
Well, you know what? It's going to be like, Yolanda. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to get certain pieces of it, but you're not going to get
exactly.
Everything. It's like Yolanda when Yolanda was on, Yolanda Hadid. That's right, Yolanda. Yeah, I'm even like can't even remember her name. That's what it's going. That's what it's going to be like. But to lose Lisa, that's going to be big. I think about that with OC too. It's like Vicky leaving. When Vicky leaves, that's going to be a major hole. And I know that she isn't in every scene, but she's just like the center of the show. So, you know, people like that.
I kind of disagree with that. She might be an OG, but I think Tamara is more central of the show than Vicky in the last several seasons.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I think Tamara leaving would be a major hole in the show, too. I totally agree with that. I think, especially since I think they have a harder time casting the housewives. I mean, we haven't had... I think Erica Jane has been like the last like really cool new housewife. You know, I think the rest, they kind of come and go. They're like one seasoners. I mean, Teddy Mellencamp, we're getting it for a season two, but it's not like that's a major, you know, she's fine, but she's not, you know. I think the two women, Gina and I forget the other woman's name who's on this season of OC. Emily, thank you. I think they're okay, but I think they're not. I mean, both of them can leave next year, and I'd be completely fine with it, too. You know, we just haven't seen, like, a huge, like, this new person has come in. I really do think it's like Erica Jane was, like, the last one to come in and really make that kind of impact, you know?
Who I would like to see come back, and this is really going over, but on Watch What Happens Live, somebody had actually asked, and I cannot think of her name right now. She was the real religious one with the big boobs, and they end up trying to reopen some kind of trampoline thing. I can't think of her name right now. I would like to see her come back because she was the one that was so against divorce, and I'm pretty sure they're divorced now. So that would be a whole new element that would be kind of maybe at least for one season kind of interesting, how it, like, you know, her life has done a 360 in the opposite direction.
You know, I also think it's interesting now that we're just having a deep dive into and the housewives. Why not? It's a super bonus episode of the snow edition of Edge of Reality. Why not? Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Reality Alley. Priscilla's at PSILLA. But now that we're on this, I want to just say, too, thinking about Atlanta, because I watched Atlanta the other day for the first time this season. And, you know, we don't have a couple of those major personalities. We don't have Phaedra anymore. Who else don't we have? There's also who's the other one that we're missing?
Oh, there really was no big other names. I mean, you had Wu that was on there, and you had, I don't know, that
no,
basketball.
No, no, no. Pregnant. Got married last year. Now she's pregnant.
Got married last year. Now she's pregnant.
Yeah, she's not on the show anymore.
I'm lost.
Oh, this is gonna. She was on The Apprentice. She was on the, like.
Oh.
She's like.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize she got pregnant and got married. Oh no, no, no! I didn't know exactly. Wynn, Twirl, shit.
Yeah, Twirl, exactly. Oh my god.
Yeah, and shit. She's Kenya.
Kenya, thank you. Holy shit! I can't believe you forgot Kenya.
Oh, I can forget Kenya. She drives me nuts. She's on, like, Watch What Happens Live. I won't watch her. She annoys me.
No, but Phaedra and Kenya were like two huge personalities of Atlanta, and now we're kind of, you know, we're seeing the NeNe stuff. Candy has never been a huge personality. Cynthia has never been a huge personality. They're trying to bring in a couple other people. It's like not doing it for me this season. I might be out on Atlanta. And then New Jersey, same thing. We have Teresa and Melissa. But Siggy is taking more of a backseat this season, it feels like. Dolores is not, you know, is not, you know, they're trying to introduce another person in the mix. It's just not kind of gelling just yet. So it's, I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's just like I'm less interested in it or like they just have a harder time finding people that can be that like on that level of insane. You know, I just don't know.
We've talked about this before, at least I've viewed my opinion. You know, I'm getting older and sometimes to see a 50 or a 40 year old woman act like a teenager and how they act, and they're supposed to be so classy and sophisticated, just bothers me in some way. So, yes, I do tune out a little bit. And it doesn't grab my attention like it used to. I totally agree with that. And it probably has a little bit to do with casting as well. But it's so this hyper thing of how we always have to be topping or going over, you know, what happened to the good old days where we got to see them build a career and, you know, it's just so, I mean, I don't like listening to five cackling, screaming ladies at one another when you can't hear even one of them speak. To me, I'm sorry. I guess I'm a little more mature than that at my age now.
I think part of it has to be that they pulled back the curtain a little bit too much in terms of you kind of see the business involved within it. You know that they're characters. You know that they try to be as crazy as possible to get as much screen time as possible, to get on the show for another season, to make more money. You know, it's all big business.
And they even talk about it that way, you know, when they go to work.
That's exactly how they talk about it. And, you know, and now you hear things like they only really like interact with each other. That's why New Jersey was so good in the beginning, because it was family members. You know, when you had Jackie and Caroline and Dina and you know, Teresa and Melissa, that was great because you know that they had to interact with each other after the cameras went off. You know, you knew. Now, it essentially destroyed their family because, like, Dina and Carolyn don't talk to each other, and Jackie, there's, like, issues with all that, you know. So, but that being said, I think the curtain is pulled back a little bit. Like, it's a little bit too set up for my taste.
Yeah,
but
like the casting, like you just said, they either were family or they were good friends. Now they don't even know each other. They use like a meeting or a acquaintance of a person that they think that would fit on the show. And they try to build that. And you can't, I mean, you can tell that some of the, especially the newer ones, and you're right, I don't watch Dallas and that, but some of the newer ones, they don't even like get together or do anything except when they're filming. And back in the day, they did shit outside of quote unquote work. You know, it carried over onto the camera when they were friends with others,
right?
And they out with each other, that carries over on camera. in my opinion, yeah. those true friendships and true relationships. But when you just try to put like a hodgepodge of this Emily and Gina, what the fuck? They're totally out.
I know. Exactly. I mean, like, where the hell did they come from and all of that good stuff. Yeah, I totally agree. And even, you know, New Jersey, which I watched earlier tonight because I had some time because I was snowed in. They were trying to introduce, and I can't even remember her name, but she like has two sets of twins, and it was like she was meeting Melissa. She went over to Melissa's house, and it was like she was meeting Melissa for the first time, and was like, "So, you're married. Your husband is married to like your husband is the brother of Teresa." Like she was trying to figure out how her and Teresa were sister-in-law, and I'm like, come on, you don't really know. You don't, like, let's say you've never even met before. Like,
you're going to do your research if it's your job, right?
Yeah, I know. You never watched the episode before. You didn't know how they met. Like, it just was so weird. It was just so weird. So, yeah. No, I hear you. I absolutely understand that. Yet, I'll watch MTV trash all day. December 20th, will X on the Beach, will I be watching that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will I watch USA's Temptation Island? Absolutely. Will I watch all 10 episodes because it's called Temptation Island? Absolutely. I will watch it to the bitter end. I will watch it until it gets canceled. Like, that's just how it works.
And who was the original host for that? They said something about Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was the original host, yeah.
They said that he's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, which we haven't seen him in a while. He used to be, like, late 90s, early 2000s, he was the man that hosted everything. We haven't seen him in a second. Chris Harrison kind of took over that slot for a while. Do you remember, speaking of Mark Wahlberg hosted shows, do you remember they had that lie detector show where they came in and they asked questions in their lie detector? Oh, my God. That was so good, too. There was a problem with that show. That's why it was canceled. But that was super good, too. that was just, man. Those, like, lineup of shows, like, back, like, early 2000s, like, mid-2000s.
Well, okay, there's a pattern here. Of all the shows that they have rebooted and they're popular again and they were long lasted shows. I mean, they were on the air for several seasons back in the day to begin with, you know.
Temptation Island was not on the air for very long. I think it
I've seen all these reboots that they're doing from the past. Does that have anything to tell you about what our current situation of our programming is anymore, where they're going back and rebooting old shows because nobody can freaking have an imagination and come up with new shit that works?
See, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that part of it is there's so many more shows that can be, you know, there's streaming, there's so many other things, like there's so many new shows. I also think like the idea of like, hey, let's do a show for 23 episodes a year and then we'll have reruns for the rest of the year in the summer. Like that's well gone too. You need to have new programming all year long. X on the Beach is starting December 20th. I mean, there's going to be new shows all the time. I think that's a factor. I also think that people just, they want to see, they it's like automatically nostalgic. Just like I said, you know, Temptation Island, I do not care how bad the show is. I will watch every single minute of it. They have one viewer and that is me. I will be it. It's like that friggin' Prince Harry show. You know, I Want to Marry Harry. I watched it until the second they canceled it. It was terrible. That
and
show was terrible.
It was horrible.
That show was the worst. I watched every second of it. I could not help it, and had to. I had to. I felt it was like my civic duty to watch it. This is how I will feel about Temptation Island. I will watch every single damn second of that show, and enjoy it and be all about it.
So the question is who brings Friends back? Netflix, Hulu, who, what? Who brings it back?
I don't think the French people come back.
Everybody's done. None of them been on the air. It's a comeback for all of them. I mean, Joey tried how many shows, and I know that's not his real name. How many shows did he do? And it's been a flop. I think he's on the air now, but it won't last. And then you got what's his face? It's now Will and Grace. So how long is that going to last? And it's a small stint. Ross.
No, they're not coming back. They're not coming back. Jennifer Aniston. That's all I have to say. Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Well, she's about the only one that's a name that has still going. Everybody else
know,
is kind of.
But they wouldn't come back without her. So
yeah,
it's not.
None of them have been really doing anything but little itty bitty parts. I can see the rest of them coming back. Maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but Jennifer. They don't come back without her. They don't come back without her.
I say in the next 2 years. Reboot.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm very happy that they're rebooting Temptation Island. Please. There's several that that you can absolutely reboot. Please reboot The Mole. Please do that again. I'd be all about that.
We tried
you know,
that.
Please. I would love that. So, you know, I am completely good with them rebooting a show. So go, please, 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 please. Anyway, you got a supersized version of our show tonight because we went down a Real Housewives wormhole there. I know. Well, I'm glad we did. I had to talk about, I couldn't leave without talking about the Are You the One finale because it just was, it was just was so wrong, and I'm wondering about it. I'm interested when you watch it, Priscilla. I'm interested to see what you think about. If you think I'm just like this was like an overreaction, or if you're like, yeah, this was crazy. What is MTV doing in this situation? So that'll be interesting. I hope you do that. Anyway, follow us on Twitter. I'm Reality Alley, Reality Allie. We have Priscilla at PSILLA. You can catch all of our shows in archives on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. And like I said, next week, I don't know what's going on. We could be home from our shopping festivities by 10 o'clock. I mean, that's where we are. The stores open so early. They could conceivably happen. If not, maybe we'll do it later in the weekend. Who knows? But so just kind of keep a lookout for us. And until then, we will talk to you later. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving if we don't make it on the air next week, y'all. Night.